$45.9 billion. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. Do you know what that represents? That's the amount of money that was spent in the United States for all pain medication in 2024. $45.9 billion. That's both prescription and over-the-counter pain medications. I'm not a social scientist, but I can tell from that people don't like pain. Would that be true? I'm one of them. I do not like pain. I had three surgeries in 2018, and back then, I could have more pain medication than they allow now in this state. I like my pain medication. In fact, most times when I go to the doctor or, you know, whatever, and they say, do you have any, are you allergic to anything? And I always say, or often say, pain. I am allergic to pain. It makes me cry. We don't like pain. I don't like pain. Maybe some of you are different. There may be some of you that say, oh, you know what I love? I just love pain. Anybody? Yeah, see, we don't like pain. We would prefer pleasure to pain. But if that desire goes unchecked, bad things happen. If we always choose pleasure over pain, bad things happen. It could have a negative impact on our life. So that's what we're talking about this morning, pain. To begin with, we're going to look at a lady named Hannah. She wanted to have children. Her husband had two wives. And his other wife had lots of children, and she couldn't. And so the other wife was making fun of Hannah and ridiculing Hannah, and it caused pain. They went to worship, and eating was a part of worship, and she couldn't even eat. Can you imagine that heartache? Can you imagine that emotional pain? So we pick the story up in 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish. The word there, men, means heavy pain. Have you been there? Crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he's been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Hannah was in pain, and like her, she wanted to get rid of that pain. She wanted to get rid of the shame of not having any children. And I'm going to say something that you won't like. So just be ready for that. You need pain. I need pain. There was a mother who had a 3-year-old daughter. And the daughter was playing in the other room, and she was quiet. And you know that strikes fear into every good parent, right? And she went to check on her, and there was blood all over the place. And she was like, you know, because when it's all over, you don't know where it came from. It was, you know, around her mouth. And then she found out what had happened. She had started biting her finger. And she bit through her finger. And they found out the problem with this little girl was that she doesn't feel pain. If I bit my finger till it bled, I would feel that. This little girl doesn't. Her mother has one prayer every day. Please, Lord, let my daughter feel pain. And we tend to think that pain is a negative thing, but you and I need pain in our life. We need it physically, but in our walk with the Lord, we need pain. So let's find out why we need pain. Here's Jesus tells a story about a wealthy farmer. And in that story, he says what this farmer, wealthy farmer, says to himself. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now I'll take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? You see, we need pain because my default setting is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. As a culture, we have the aggressive pursuit of comfort. And it's killing us as Americans. Sitting, they say, sitting is the new smoking. And just sitting there, and our gods have become our God, small g, God. Well, maybe in some cases, big G. And so many plans that God has for our lives are derailed because I don't feel like it. You know, I'm just not feeling it today. And we live our lives based on whether it makes us feel comfortable or not. We have to move forward and obey. When do we do that? When we hurt enough that we have to. King David saying this, Psalm 119:71, we read it earlier. It was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your decrees. It was good for me to be afflicted. See, I need to have pain in my life because I learn the power of God's word. That's what David was saying. It's when we're pressed, when we're in pain, when we're pushed out of our comfort zone, that we learn the power of God's word. Why else do we need pain? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 8. Paul's talking to the Corinthians about a letter he sent. And I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know that it was what? It was painful to you for a little while. Now I am glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have. So you were not harmed by us in any way, because it caused them to repent and to change their ways. I need pain in my life. You need pain in your life because I change. Because of the pain, I change. The pain that you're experiencing can produce beauty. We can change. And it forces us to do things that we never did before because we're in pain. There's a worship song we often sing called Oceans. You remember that song? In that song is these lyrics. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Difficulty causes us to walk paths we never would have walked in before. There's a guy named Graham Greene, and he wrote this. In Italy, for 30 years under the Borgia, they had warfare, terror, murder, and bloodshed. but they produced Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and the Renaissance. In Switzerland, they had brotherly love and 500 years of democracy and peace. And what did that produce? The cuckoo clock. Don't fight the pain in your life as though it was something bad happening to you. It produces more good things in you. Pain produces more good things in you than pleasure ever will. Have you ever heard somebody say this? You know, I was sitting in the hot tub sipping an iced tea when I realized I needed to change my life. Nobody ever said that. When do people decide they need to change their life? When they're puking their guts out, right? When they're in terrible pain and they're experiencing consequences, and they say, God, you have to help me. If you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just like this lady here.
Oh, one day we go out drinking as a group, and we're drinking, and after the night is over, I'm on my way home, and I get pulled over by the cops. I get charged with DUI, and they arrested me. I remember that I was in the back of the car, and I was a mess. I was crying. I said, God, why is my life so bad? I had this flashback of just everything that was happening in my life, one thing after another. And then I heard a voice say, when are you going to stop fighting me? When are you going to surrender your life to me? And I started weeping. And I said, now, Lord, help me, because I don't know how to change. And I remember I was just crying. I get to the jail. They put me in the jail cell by myself. And I remember it was cold. It was a cold concrete floor. And I was just like this. And I was just holding myself. And I was crying. And I said, God, I don't know how to change. I want to change, and I don't know how to. I felt like I have no control of my life, God. How are you going to change me? And everything that I do in my life is just goes bad. God, help me. Because if you're real, I do want to change. I want to get out of this life. If you're real, God, get me out of stripping. And I promise to serve you, God. And then all of a sudden, I'm like this. And I look up, and I was sober. Like, supernaturally. I said, this is so weird. This is so weird. You know, and I look up, and then I began to just cry even more. And as I'm crying, I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in the room. I felt a tangible presence, like an electricity from the top of my head all the way to the soles of my feet. And I'm weeping even more. Because I knew this was the Holy Spirit because it was such a peace. It was like a holy presence. It was a tangible presence that I've never experienced this. And I said, I've been waiting for this my whole life. I knew what fear felt like. I knew what anxiety felt like. I knew what panic attacks felt like. I knew what worry felt like, but this was different. It's like God was extending his love, his mercy, his grace over me and said, daughter, I hear you. I've been trying to get your attention, but you haven't listened to me. Now are you ready? I am real. And I'm touching you right here. And I said, God, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready. Help me. I want to get out of this lifestyle, Lord. Help me.
When was she ready? When she was in the middle of pain. Pain is good for us because we change. But pain does something else. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as a child. As you endure this divine discipline, also known as pain, Remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who has ever heard of a child that is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you, as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us. God's discipline is always good for us. God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. Pain, discipline, makes us stronger. I need pain in my life because I become stronger. Don't resist the work that God is doing in your life because of pain. Heroes and villains have the same backstory, pain. Think of all the villains that come to mind and all the heroes that come to mind. They have in their past pain. But see, a villain says, the world hurt me and I'm going to hurt it back. The hero says, the world hurt me and I'm not going to let it hurt anybody else. The hero uses pain. The villain is used by pain. And so we all experience pain. The question is, are you going to be a hero? Are you going to be a villain? Are you going to be a William Wallace in Ireland? Or are you going to be a Darth Vader? Who are you going to be? How are you going to use the pain in your life? A number of you will remember Chad and Angie that attended here before they moved to North Carolina. They, for those of you who don't know them, they were bodybuilders. You know, Chad's arms were like that big around. What are those big muscles? You know what they are? Those big muscles are accumulation of pain. And I remember them talking about, well, you know, they had, you know, back day or leg day, and they would get together with a bunch of others and they would really work their legs. And then the next day in the gym, they were just walking around like this in pain. Why? Because they were building muscle. Muscle comes after you build pain. When you go to the gym and the next day, you know, I'm sore, I go, oh, that was a good workout. But if I don't have pain, then I know I should have pushed a little bit harder. Should have pushed. Pain builds strength in us. In fact, recent studies have shown that muscle strength is correlated to longer life. When we are physically stronger, we live longer. God wants to do more through us. There's a tendency to think, oh man, I'm going through this painful season. God must hate me. I have a terrible life. Have you felt like that? That's fairly common. And it's like, oh, it is the exact opposite. God is saying, I want to do something amazing in your life. I'm allowing this pain so you go stronger, that you live longer, that you make a bigger impact for the kingdom. The pain is saying to you from God, I love you. That's what pain means. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude, literally, the same mind. You must arm yourself, it's like a weapon, with the same mind he had, and be ready to suffer too. For you have, if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but will be anxious to do the will of God. I love that phrase. You'll be anxious to do the will of God. Oh, I can do the will of God. Yes, I can do the will of God. And you're looking for opportunities to do the will of God. By the way, what is the will of God? You ever wonder about that? Beginning next week, that is the series we're going to be taking a look at. Navigating God's will. So, Peter is saying that pain is good for us because I become more obedient. Remember the stupid stuff you used to do when you were a kid? Why don't you do that anymore? The pain of consequences, right? We've learned the pain of consequences, so we become more obedient. When I worked out at Prairie Camp, the camp caretaker had a dog named Mandy. And to schedule, to announce the schedule of the day, we had a big bell. If you've been out of Prairie Camp, you've heard the camp bell. All of a sudden, one day, a kid is ringing the bell. And Mandy decides to bite that kid. Fortunately, the kid was the son of the previous camp director, so the camp didn't get sued. But we told the kids after lunch, we're just going to keep ringing the bell. Don't come. It's a false alarm. And we went to the bell, and Jim, the camp caretaker, had yesterday's newspaper. And he told somebody, ring the bell. And Mandy growled, and he swatted Mandy. Ring the bell. She growled a little bit. He swatted her. And he kept swatting her until all of a sudden we would ring the bell and she had no response. And she was fine. And she never bit anyone else. Now, what would have happened if she didn't learn that? They would send Mandy away. Mandy could not be at a camp with kids if she bites kids when the bell rings. So, we need pain so that we become more obedient. Later on in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. You hear that scenario? Oh, hey, guess what? I'm in so much pain, I can't believe it. Oh, that's awesome. Aren't you excited? That's what Peter's saying. Don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Instead, be glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you'll have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. See, I need pain because in that I become a partner of Jesus. Jesus suffered pain. We suffer. It's like we're yoked together. You know what a yoke is? It's a big wooden thing. It's got a hoop on it. One animal gets in this side, another animal gets in this side, and they pull together. So get this picture in mind. You're in the yoke, and you're pulling together, and you look over there, and it's Jesus. Yeah. You're yoked together with Jesus. You're pulling together with Jesus. That's pretty good, right? That he is pulling right next to you. And then Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or what? Pain. No more pain. All these things are gone forever. Now, just so you know, that word forever, it means forever and ever and ever. The pain will be gone. We need pain because it's only temporary. Pain is only temporary. It's only temporary. It doesn't last forever. More than that, there was a man named Jerry Sitzer. Jerry Sitzer was a pastor in Idaho. And one evening, they were driving in a very rural part of Idaho. And their car was hit by a drunk driver. And it took over an hour for emergency vehicles to A, know about it, and get there. And in that hour, Jerry held his mother, his daughter, and his wife as they died. I can't even imagine that. And Jerry wrote a book that I love. It's called A Grace Disguised. And in that book, he wrote this: sorrow took up permanent residence in my soul and enlarged it. I learned gradually that the deeper we plunge into suffering, the deeper we can enter into a new and different life. A life no worse than before, and sometimes better. The soul is elastic, like a balloon. It can grow larger through suffering. Loss can enlarge its capacity for anger, depression, despair, and anguish, all natural and legitimate emotions. Whenever we experience loss, once enlarged, the soul is also capable of experiencing greater joy, strength, peace, and love. That is what can happen in us when we experience pain. We have a greater capacity. Augustine said, everywhere a greater joy is preceded by a greater suffering. You see, we need pain because it's only temporary, but the results are eternal. The results are eternal. Let me ask you a question. Is God sadistic? Does God get pleasure from watching us in pain? No, he's not. And so there has to be a purpose for the pain we're experiencing. A.W. Tozer says, it is doubtful if God can use a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. You look at somebody that God has used greatly, and you look at people that have been hurt deeply, and it's the same group of people. Here's the bottom line. Pain is preparation for something better. Are you in pain? God is preparing you for something better. So, if that's true, what can we do? 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, no, I beat my body and make it my slave. We can beat God with a punch. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather get punched in the face by yourself or God? What is fasting? What is denying us things? We allow ourselves, we train, we discipline ourselves. We will be disciplined. We have a choice of doing it ourselves or allowing God to do that to us. And so it's easier for us. It's less painful. Yes, there's pain. It's less painful when I do it to myself. Or you can just wait for God to do it. And it'll hurt more. But how do we survive? Initially, I was going to put a period right there and that was going to be the end. But then I thought, that's a whole lot load to drop on everybody, right? How are you going to, good luck with that. So, they say in the frozen tundra, if you're close to freezing to death and you look in the distance and see a fire, you will not freeze to death. If you can see a fire, you won't freeze to death. What is that? That's hope. So, what hope do we have? So, I thought we'd come up with some painkillers, actually pain weakeners. How do we make it through the pain? Number one, the big picture. We need to see the big picture. I don't know if any of you know this, but God is in control. And there's times when things are bad, we need to zoom out to 30,000 feet or 30,000 light years and go, okay, God is in control of the entire universe. He's in control. He's going to use this somehow. And keep reminding yourself, God is in control. God is in control. Remember Hannah? We started taking a look at Hannah at the very beginning. What did she do? God gave her a son. What did she do with her son? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 25. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, you remember me, Hannah asked. I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. Her son was named Samuel. Samuel means heard by God. Hannah was saying, God heard me. Samuel was the one that anointed David as king of Israel. He played a significant role in the history of the nation of Israel. What is she saying by naming her son that? God heard me. God heard me. Can I tell you right now? In your pain, God hears you. God hears you. God hears you. Samuel, God hears you. What did they do? There, they worshiped. See the big picture and worship. Worship means worth-ship. It's a way of saying, God, you are worth so much to me. It's worth going through this because of what you're going to do in me and through me. And intense pain initiates the fight or flight system in your body. There are times that pain is so severe you can't think. And many of you have experienced that. I've experienced that. What do? There are times when you're in so much pain, you can't think. And so there is only, do you know what firmware is in a computer? firmware is software that's written right into the hardware of the computer. Like, you could lose the programs that are on there, but the firmware, that's permanent. There is one song that's in my firmware, and that's Amazing Grace. I don't know how that was installed, but there's, you know, there are times when I was in very severe pain, and I couldn't think of, I'm trying to think of the songs we sang on Sunday. Just let me sing one of those. Couldn't think of that. The only thing that came out was Amazing Grace. Let me tell you something. You can scream Amazing Grace if you want to, if you're in some of the pain. But that was necessary for me to worship in pain, to worship through the pain. And then, on a lighter note, laughter. You know, as Jerry Sitzer talked about your soul being enlarged, God will also increase your capacity to laugh and to experience joy. For me, there were two people. And I don't think anybody has ever said these two names in the same sentence before. Shawna Pierce. Shawna is a lady who has experienced significant pain. And she knows how to laugh. And Larry the Cable Guy. Laughter is good medicine. And so we need to laugh. You know what? We ought to have a comedian some Sunday. Yeah. You know, somebody other than me. Somebody that's actually funny. And but that's good. Laughter is good. And then those are the things that will get you through, that will give you hope. And the order, the sequence is essential. The big picture, worship. And then you have the freedom to laugh. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we embrace what you have for us, even though it means pain. Lord, I pray that you would refine us. I pray that you would heal us. I pray that you would repair us and strengthen us and walk with us so that you can transform us and thereby transform the community around us. Father, we live in a community racked with pain. We live in a community filled up with pain medication, trying to soothe the pain that only you can help with. And so, Father, use us to make a difference in this community. Thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us. And Father, I pray that in a real and a tangible way, you'll provide peace. You'll provide strength for those of us who are hurting. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.